The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Happy Monday, day after the time change. I was hoping that we weren't going to have to do these time changes any longer. I guess the daylight savings time bill or daylight saving time bill did not make it through the legislature. But anyway, we'll have a wrap up with State Representative Kim Wallin on what happened in the legislative session. I know that for the most part, the group seems to be relatively happy, except for some real conservative types like Linthicum and Dwayne Junker. I wonder why that might be. But anyway, we'll talk with Kim about that a little bit later this morning. Also, Mr. Outdoors will be back on the program. Haven't talked to him since last Monday, and I don't know if we're going to go back to Fridays this week, or is it going to be next week? Or anyway, we'll talk about that, see where things are going. And one way or the other, it's always great talking about the outdoors, which is very apolitical until you get into wolves and, of course, meat and all the rest of it. Join in at 770-563-3770-KMED. I was doing a lot of thinking about these Democrat charter changes. And remember, these are Democrat charter changes. I know there are a handful of what I would term country club or what's another way of putting it? Chamber of Commerce Republicans that are in favor of some of these charter changes, too. And I don't know if maybe the chamber, maybe I don't know. I don't know why they went to upend county government other than the fact that it would tend to cause more disorder. But I'm going to talk with Mr. X about this at 6:35, the community researcher. We've been talking with him off and on for years, and he, as I have been, and many other people I also know, are biting into these charter changes in Jackson and Josephine County. Yep, it is a coincidence, like I noted on Facebook yesterday. It is just a coincidence that both Jackson County and Josephine County voters are facing a vote in May on these intrusions, mostly from the Democratic Party. It's just a coincidence. There's no coordination on this whatsoever. It just happens to be their number one goal for 2024, all right? And they want to fundamentally transform our county governments. And they're doing this under the guise of, well, we're going to have more democracy and more partisanship. Oh, and it's going to cost more. When the hell has a Democrat ever cared about the cost of anything? Other than maybe the cost of a vote, you know, that might be, how much is it going to cost for us to cheat in this next election, Hal? Well, Bob, it could be. Well, the price has gone up from $3 to $4 a vote to get the runners. I don't know, and the ballot stuffers, you know. But, you know, all this talk, I love all of these failed Democrat Party candidates that were happy to run for county commission under the current pay, and then all of a sudden when they didn't win, we're making too much, and so we need a change for good government. Yeah. This is the equivalent. This is nothing more than a naked power grab, and it's a stacking. It's kind of like the Democrats and the good old boys and good old girls of Southern Oregon are hoping to stack the decks and change the rules is what they want to do. Want to go to... Both counties are voting on going to five commissioners rather than three. Josephine County's 17-116 goes even further than Jackson County because it's a total repeal and replace. You get what's good in the car in the charter, and it's gone, and it's replaced with a new document entirely, which I don't think was the intent of the original citizens group that was appointed to look at changes for the county charter, but then they ended up splintering. And the splinter one, which is, oddly enough, coincidentally, just like in Jackson County, filled with Democrats, it just kind of came out of nowhere. Just, you know, for some reason, Democrats just, ended up just moving over to this group that just wanted to change things because they haven't had the opportunity to be on county commissions much lately because Democrats have become ever more radical in the state of Oregon. And all you have to do is look at the state legislature. What happens in the state legislature? Ever more radical, and on countywide votes, voters have been saying no, largely saying no. Now, it's funny that the Democrats in Salem, when Republicans complained about having trouble winning statewide votes, what are Republicans always told? You need to send out better candidates that get the votes. But in Jackson and Josephine County, the Democrats can't send out better candidates. So what they want to do is change the rules so that we have more democracy. Now, what makes Josephine County's 17-116 even more insidious is that they want to split it up into districts. That's part of the charter change proposed too. So you will no longer have three county commissioners who represent and care about the county as a whole. All three candidates, both in Jackson and Josephine County, care about and represent the county as a whole, the entire county. What they want to do is bust it up in Josephine County first. Jackson County, they want to do the same thing. But that will be later, after we fool you Jackson County voters into voting for these three county charter changes. That's really what's going on here. In fact, I think Dave Gilmore even let the cat out of the bag last week in one of the public meetings when he said, the districts, that will come later. Yeah, they want to bust it up. They don't want three good county commissioners in Jackson and Josephine County who care about the county as a whole. They want to bust it up into a bunch of districts. Josephine County first, they want to do this. This is that whole thing in which you slice and dice the county up, and then you have districts fighting and vying for each other and fighting with each other over policy, really, rather than three commissioners elected by the entire county, because everybody in the county gets to vote for them, or against them, as the case might be, depending on who's running, that sort of thing. But everybody gets the opportunity to vote on all three. The scheme in Josephine County, 17-116, is about voting for, I guess it would have four districts, so you get a chance to vote for one in your district, because we're going to have the district of commissioners instead of the county commissioners. And then there will be one commissioner who is voted on by everyone. It's like, what's the point of that? I guess that's the chair, right? That sort of thing. So you have one super commissioner and then four other baby commissioners in districts, rather than three commissioners that represent the entire county and have the entire county's best interests in mind, rather than we're going to sit around here and worry about this particular district. No, it's about the entire county. You're supposed to be a county commissioner, not a district commissioner. But the Democrats wanted all to be district commissioners, commissioners of districts. Yeah, it's about sowing more dissension, really. And this all is because, well, in Jackson County, the reason they want this is that we have all of these great progressive ideas at Ashland and Talent. And we want the entire county to live the way Ashland and Talent do. And we're tired of county commissioners that actually are thinking that they should ask a question about state power, because we love state government, because we love all those state government people like Pam Marsh and Jeff Golden. that's really what we're dealing with, right? And so they're upset that their ideas aren't popular enough to win a countywide vote. So they want five. They want five commissioners first, and then next election cycle, probably they'll say, we need to have districts just like Josephine County was doing. Now, Josephine hasn't been done in Josephine County yet, but that's the thing they're trying to fool people into voting for in May. So Jackson County just a little bit behind, I guess they didn't want to put all four on there with districts and pay reduction and going with five counties. And, but nonpartisan, yeah, Jackson County also wants to go nonpartisan, because if Denise Krause, failed county commissioner candidate, were to ever run again, we would have no idea what she stands for, would we? Partisanship, partisan bad, nonpartisan good. Josephine County already dumbly went in that direction. That's one thing they did I think was dumb, but, that's one way or the other. All this talk about nonpartisan, what it means is that you're hiding your partisanship and you have to find out what someone is thinking in other ways. Now, I know that the Jackson County for All Democrats is complaining that we don't all get to vote for people in the primary. All right. I'll tell you what, take that up with the state of Oregon, which you Democrats control. That's a Democrat. That's a state deal. We don't have open primaries. That doesn't stop anybody from running for a county commissioner as an independent or an independent party or some other party label or no party label at all. But as far as I'm concerned, if you're a Republican voter trying to choose a Republican candidate, you should be a Republican to choose it. Otherwise, what's the point of having party labels? Well, when party labels help Democrats, they want party labels. When party labels don't help Democrats, as they don't help them in Jackson and Josephine County, then they want to go nonpartisan. Nonpartisan is good because it means they need to hide it because they're, for the most part, radicals. Behind all of this is just a naked power grab. It's just a naked power grab. And I wanted to share an email that I got. In fact, I'm going to make this an email of the day. Just a second. I just lost that here. Seems. Oh, here it is. It's an email of the day that I'm going to have to leave the person's name out anonymous because apparently the individual is involved in some governmental capacity here in Jackson County. Says, Bill, I am privy to many meetings and conversations that I wish I could share. This is more than just Democrats or liberals trying to gain control of just the county commissioner seats. It is their goal to break into districts, not just our county, but all the counties in Oregon. Locally, South Medford, Ashland, Talent, Phoenix will make up two districts. Western Medford and Jacksonville, a third, and the north part of the county will be divided into the other two. And at that point, you'll see Ashland's city goals and department become the county focus. I have to figure a way to get involved without doing something that will bite me in my hind end. I'll be putting something in the voter's pamphlet. I just got to figure out what that is going to be. This is what this person is, and it's an individual who is currently within the governmental structures, not of Jackson County, but some of the towns around here. That's all I will say about this individual. And yep, that person is absolutely right. They want to slice it up into districts because the progressives, the progs, the commies, whatever label you want to put it, the Marxists, maybe that's another way of looking at it. They don't win countywide elections. They might win elections in a particular Senate district or a House district because it'll be filled with like Ashland, Talent as an example, very, very, very left-leaning towns politically, right? And so they'll win there. But when you add in the Jackson County or Josephine County populations as a whole, they don't tend to win. Well, they're tired of that. This is all about partisanship under the guise of hiding partisanship because they're really upset that there aren't enough Democrats on the board. That's it. That's all there is to it. So if you want to be more like Multnomah County in this respect, then let's go down there and have even more affirmative care for the miscreants of society. Oh, yeah, go ahead and go for these charter changes. If you actually want to continue having commissioners who care about the county as a whole rather than dividing and conquer all the districts, which is what the Democrats are hoping to do by pushing these, then I guess you'd want to vote for the charter changes. But I'm thinking and I'm hoping and I'm praying that you're smarter than that. And I'm also hoping that you'll continue to tell your friends and coworkers and everybody about this and get them out to vote. That's what this is normally a low turnout election, which is another reason why the schemers wanted to put it in the May election. I can even see where a lot of Republicans will say, why should I even bother, voting in this primary because, Trump's the presumed nominee, right? You can see that kind of stuff playing out. Oh, that plays right into the Democrats and the Marxists' hands. That plays right into their scheme. They're hoping that Republicans and people of common sense will not vote in this May election. You have to prove them wrong. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm honest. I'm a partisan. I make no bones about it. They're partisans, too, but they want to hide it. And their scheme is about pushing partisanship while claiming to be about nonpartisan and transparent and cheaper, as if a Democrat ever gave a crap about making anything less expensive in government. For crying, just amazing. This is the Bill Maher Show on KMED, KCMD. It's my opinion. We're going to keep picking the scab of this. I want to make sure that you have, and everyone you know, you tell them about this. You know, share the podcast if you want. All this kind of stuff. I would like to share a podcast anyway. But the thing is, there's no excuse for no one not to know what these schemers are really up to. And the response is, you must vote. And I know that there are problems with the ballot box in the United States with mail-in voting. You know what that means? You got to overwhelm it. We have to overwhelm any kind of potential hinky, but yet legal, you know, because they make it really easy to ballot harvest in the state of Oregon. We're going to have to work really hard to defeat these Democrats and these progs, these Marxists, whatever you want to call it. They're wanting to do this. We have to work really hard on that. Turn out the vote, 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 vote. Here it is. It's never been easier to vote, you know, here in the state of Oregon with mail-in. My gosh, you don't even have to find the stamp, for crying out loud, because that was voter suppression, according to the Dems. All right, take them at their word. Kick their tail out of these intrusions into our county charters, our forms of government in Jackson and Josephine County. Kick their tails out of it. Send a resounding message. No, no, no. Get out of here. We'd rather have three strong county commissioners that are working on county commission, that are representing the county as a whole. They care about the entire county. They're not supposed to be district commissioners. They wanted to be district commissioners. We want county commissioners. Strong and knowledgeable. And yeah, you got to pay them to get decent people too. You know, that's the other thing. But we're going to dissect a little bit of that with Mr. X here in the next few minutes. Because one of the claims of the Jackson County Initiative, well, we're going to reduce the pay, too. Can you really do that? Well, the court cases say, well, maybe not. Or even with what they are claiming there in one of their proposals, it might get changed around pretty quickly. Or find itself in court. But anyway, we'll talk about that and more coming up. This is the Bill Maher Show.
Stephen Westfall Roofing Incorporated, 601-9108, specializing in new construction and re-roofing. Are you looking for a reliable and experienced roofing company for your roofing projects? Stephen Westfall Roofing is here to ensure you'll live under a long-lasting roof, using the best materials in the market based on performance and quality to keep the project within your budget while avoiding additional costs. Call us today for an estimate tomorrow. Stephen Westfall Roofing Incorporated gets it done. 541-601-9108.
CCB number 230804.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Lydex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your department of adventure.
Taxes are hard, and calling Pat Hurley is easy at 774-1040. He's a former Internal Revenue agent and is licensed as an Oregon tax consultant and enrolled agent. He's your friendly tax professional at 774-1040.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager of Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Diana Anderson just wrote me a moment ago, but I was talking about how the Democrats and all the people that are pushing the charter changes, both in Jackson and Josephine County. They got the three measures, likely on the ballot in May, and you have the 17-116 measure in Josephine County. Now, the one in Jackson, they're not doing the districts right now. But they will even admit, they've even admitted out in the public meetings that, yeah, the districts will be coming next. In other words, we have to feed you good communism, Marxism, a little bit at a time, where people that, we hope to fool them. Hoping to fool you is what they're hoping to do, right? And Diana Anderson, you know, Diana, who has talked about the United Nations and various other things in the 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable communities that the former governor ended up imposing by executive order. She says, Bill, dividing into districts, Diana says, and then district divisions will be divided into various types of 20-minute neighborhoods. Very interesting. Diana, I'm looking forward to a report on that, keeping us informed on it. 6:32, Mr. X will join me here in a few minutes. We'll talk more about the fallacies that they're trying to push there in Jackson County for all Democrats. Tom's here in Talent. Hello, Tom. Welcome.
Thank you. You know, I think about why the Democrats want to gain power, and it's basically to promote wokeism, which I would call, you know, slash communism, fascism. And to vote for this would be to vote for higher electricity because you want to take out all the dams and reasonable ways of obtaining electricity. So that's one of the goals. You see a lot of what Diane just mentioned, the stack and pack that's happening in Talent.
And I would also imagine here, Tom, that, you know, when you were talking about the electrical power, they would want the county to not resist anything about climate-friendly, equitable communities, too. They want people that will be laydowns and lickspittles and basically kiss the state agencies behind on absolutely everything. That's what they want.
Yes, exactly. And we'll get more of the, as far as I'm concerned, what happened with the pandemic was medical fascism. And it will come back at us on steroids.
Yeah. Do you remember how both county commissions were very noncommittal about imposing the mask mandates and getting involved? They took a lot of criticism incoming from the hissy fitters, the same hissy fitters that are wanting to have districts and go with five commissioners and more democracy. You know, same sort of people, behind it all. Right.
And it'll happen in the schools, too. I mean, it's, this idea that it's just, like Pam Barr says, it's just so wonderful to have gender-affirming medical procedures on minors. I mean, God, these people, their minds are so warped. They're so sick, and they can't see it.
And when you have people who are that warped and so sick and yet can't see it, you can't give them more power. And that's exactly what these charter changes, both in Jackson and Josephine County, are about, handing more power over to essentially people who in past times would have been considered mentally ill. Be honest about it. Don't give them the levers of power. They already control most of the state, and they're trying to clean up what little is left of the resistance. And we must stand firm on this one. Tom, thank you for your call. They're always good. Enjoy them. 6:35 at KMED, KCMD. We'll continue to focus on these charter changes here in the next segment. Mr. X will rejoin me as we'll kind of dive down a little rabbit hole for a few minutes. So grab a cup of coffee, even though in your brain, perhaps it feels like 5:35, even though in reality it is 6:35 according to the clock.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber, when 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers, featuring lumber, hardware, and siding, starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber, your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
Dusty's, your trusted transmission experts, are now offering even more. In addition to their top-notch services in CVT, hybrid, and standard transmissions to transfer cases, differentials, and clutches, they are now excited to introduce their new preventative maintenance full-service options, including oil changes. From expert transmission service to preventative maintenance, let the experts at Dusty's keep your ride reliable and running smooth. 250 North Front Street, Central Point. Schedule your appointment today.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me hanging around there.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Oregon's short legislative session wrapped up Thursday, 3 days before the actual deadline. This 32-day session focused heavily on passing Measure 110 reforms and Governor Tina Kotek's housing package. Southern Jackson County Representative Pam Marsh says, despite the shorter session, they were able to make a lot of changes that people wanted to see. Representative Marsh says one surprising focus of this session was the campaign funding reform bill, which would limit the amount individuals can donate to a political candidate. And today, the Chamber of Medford and Jackson County is holding a forum discussing Measure 110. The event at the Rogue Valley Country Club starts at 11:30, and the panel discussion begins at noon. For more information or to register for the event, you can visit the Chamber's website at medfordchamber.com. And yesterday, Mount Ashland Ski Area had to close due to a high sustained wind. According to the Mountain Report on the Mount Ashland website, winds were reaching up to 30 miles per hour. This resulted in rocking chairs on the ski lift and lowered visibility. Staff say the bright side is that the mountain saw an additional 3 to 7 inches of snow. For updates on closures and conditions, you can go to mtashland.com. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great Monday and a great start to your week.
An intelligent solution is shared with others. This is Randall at Advanced Air. Are you looking for a heating contractor to service your furnace or heat pump? Most of Advanced Air's work comes from clients referring us to their friends and family after a repair. Advanced Air strives to provide excellent service and maintain our 5-star rating on Google, Facebook, and BBB. As a Bryant Factory dealer, Advanced Air is grateful for loyal customers. Your referral is the greatest compliment on a job well done. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver best-in-class home comfort.
Make the intelligent choice. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Fontana Roofing metal roof customers are always thrilled with the results, but there could be a downside for certain homeowners. Here's a confidential conversation captured en route to a job site.
You know, these metal roofs are pretty popular, but I suppose they do have some disadvantages.
Oh, come on. Really? For instance?
Well, if you actually enjoy replacing your roof, you may not get a second chance since metal typically lasts 40 to 70 years.
Oh, yeah, that's a real bummer.
And they reflect UV and infrared rays, which can save up to 25% in cooling costs.
Point taken. Everybody knows we need to support the power company as much as possible.
Plus, they're fire resistant, they can sustain wind gusts, and are pretty low maintenance.
Wow. Who wants to get a good night's sleep knowing all of that?
The responsible thing is to be upfront with the facts and let our customers decide.
Agreed.
Call Fontana Roofing for full disclosure regarding their metal roofs. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
I popped off a note to County Clerk Chris Walker over the weekend because I was looking for the verbiage of what would be on the ballot for these three county charter changes proposed in Jackson County by Traction County for All, which I've nicknamed Jackson County for All Democrats because they're butthurt about not being able to win countywide elections. And the same kind of group is pushing very similar deals, except it's even more widespread in Josephine County, 17-116. My gosh, you know, this is something that the county commissioners ended up, saying, well, let's put together a group and let's have a community group out there and talk about maybe some additions to the county charter. And then they splintered off. And the one that splintered off said, we need to repeal and replace it. Yay! Yay, team! Let's get rid of the good stuff, too! And let's get us ever closer to what Mr. X was telling me about Kenneth Tolinar. Kenneth Tolinar, the guy that used to run the Association of Oregon Counties, the one who said that he wanted a world government. Wasn't that his goal back in the days, Ed? We appreciate you.
It was a world, actually it read a world federal government.
Yep, wanted a world federal government. And he was the one that we're probably pretty sure back in the day ended up convincing a lot of the counties to change their charters in which your agencies of the state first rather than body politic of we the people, you know, those sort of things. Tolinar would have been one of those guys. He's been dead for a few years now, by the way. But Tolinar would have been one of those people happy to have counties that are just laydowns and lickspittles for state agency power. And heck, the agency heads aren't even elected. You know, it's just all these appointees running everything rather than our actual government. What say you this morning? Welcome back.
Bill, it's a pleasure to be back. It's disturbing to have these discussions, to be honest with you, because it's a recognized threat to me, an unbelievable threat that these people are orchestrating. And the importance of it is unbelievable. And again, I have to say, everybody out there needs to vote and vote this down. And the reality that comes down to it is just so concerning. The idea, the only method that we have is to fight this every way we can and to keep fighting it, because it's about importation of an agenda and that agency status that you mentioned. And it, you know, the reality to it is we have to work hard. We have to understand what they're actually doing. And, you know, the conversation right now takes place over, you know, looking at the actual language. Remember, I've always said, look at the actual written word and to see what it is. So one third of their argument is the salaries of the county commission. Okay.
And by the way, this is in the Jackson County. We're talking about the Jackson County one right now, although similar kind of stuff is in the Joe County. I don't know if I'm not sure that the 17-116 addresses salaries. No, it would have to, because they want to go to five, just like they're trying to push in Jackson County.
It would have to, because they're making the argument that it's economically viable. But I'll go.
Well, once again, Ed, before we even move any further, when have you ever heard about a Democrat in the state of Oregon that gave a crap about the cost of government? Where?
That's exactly right. And in essence, Bill, it will become astronomical, the cost that will end up being set upon us to support. And we'll have to do it with further intrusions into our ability to survive and live here. And that's the reality. When we look at the reality, because they have to function according to state law. And in the text of the measure, it says that, you know,
Do you want me to read the one about the compensation? Want me to read that?
Yeah, if you would, that would be fine.
All right, here we go. This is one of the three Jackson County for All Democrats thing that they're pushing here. Compensation. The compensation of personnel in the service of the county shall be fixed by the Board of Commissioners, except that salaries of elected officials shall be fixed annually by the Budget Committee, with the exception of the five county commissioners, whose salary shall be set at $75,000 as of January 1st, 2027. This is dependent upon passage of title, increase the number of Jackson County commissioners. See, they're assuming that you get the five county commissioners first, right? Future changes in salary shall thereafter annually be indexed to average wages within Jackson County. No person will be paid money or other valuable consideration for obtaining signatures or electors on the initiative. Okay, so that's what they had people signing up for, all right, Deb Krause and the cronies, okay?
Let's go to the last line you read, Bill. Future changes in salary shall thereafter annually be indexed to average wages within Jackson County.
Okay.
Well, it's a pretty ambiguous statement to the average person. But when you look at the reality, that's following state law. And state law would put their salaries back up to what they are at currently, because that's the criteria for the current salary fixes that are on there. And this is what's so disturbing, because they act like, oh, we're going to fix it at $75,000 and the future changes in salary. Well, that budget committee, as I understand it, meets every year. So the reality to it is, it's up to the budget committee to look at the county budget as a line item thing of how much do these people cost us. Well, now if you've got five of them, I figured it out a little earlier today, just for that aspect of it, you're talking 600 grand extra over the course of the time that they would have for two extra commissioners for a term of a commissioner 4 years. So you look at budgetary items and you look at the realities of this, and it makes no sense whatsoever, other than like what you were speaking to earlier, it changes the power base. And the power base, you look at how this is supported by people. Jeff Golden supports it. Well, Jeff Golden is now a senator. Mm-hmm. And some of the recent activities in the legislature, he was proposing $30 million for forest restoration treatments. So now let's look at the reality of that.
All right, let's take a look at what a Jeff Golden-style county commission would do. And this is a very important distinction right now, Ed. I know where you're going with this, okay?
Oh, this is a distinction beyond belief, because in order to pay all of these salaries, we have to have a functioning economy. And with $30 million in forest restoration, which...
Well, by the way, that means burning the forest, right? That means prescribed burns,
right? That's
exactly
right.
So when you hear forest treatment, it's never about mechanical removal of the trees. It's always about burning them and burning them whenever. And the current board, under three county commissioners that actually care about the entire county rather than districts, it would be a very different power base with the Jeff Golden kind of thing if you ended up having a more Jeff Golden-friendly county commission in Jackson County.
That is exactly right, Bill. And what we're going to end up doing is revisiting, going back in history to 2017, 2018, 2016. We had 3 years of constant smoke on top of smoke on top of where you couldn't see a quarter mile. And this is the thing that they want to do because it furthers the agenda. Okay, the agenda of restoration to pre-white settlement. Well, the question you got to ask yourself if you live in Ashland, look around you. Your businesses are closing because of this stuff. People are leaving because of this stuff. Businesses have to leave because they can't support themselves because the tourist industry is down.
Well, look at what happened where I think they gave a million and a half, I'm just spitballing on the number here, to OSF because it's always about recovery from the pandemic, right? Well, the thing is, though, the tourists aren't coming, and the tourists aren't coming when it's smoky, you know?
That's the reality to this. I mean, you look at the theme, the ability to stand behind what they're trying to do, but it's always restore it to pre-white settlement conditions. Well, I'm sorry to inform you, but it's been settled. And now you're an intrusion into that. And these people move into this stuff, Bill, and it's absolutely disgusting. But will you?
Okay, let's take a look at where they want to go. And let me just a practical aspect. Let's say that for some reason, everyone who's listening to this program and all their friends and families who should be voting decide to stay home, and then they get their five county commissioners, and then you have Ashland and Talent in charge of interfacing with the Forest Service then. Because right now, the current board is able to say, no, we're not going to burn, we're not going to do prescribed burns during fire season. And yet every year, we get all the cities around in the liberal areas that want to burn in fire season, don't we? Like Jacksonville was one of the latest ones that happened.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's the thing that we have to stand on for any future protection is the strength of our county commission through coordination with federal agencies to put a stop to this intrusion. And that's the reality. And I can't even go strong enough right now to say it in that way. But I have to try to convey this. You look at this, and this is all about this type of thing. And this type of thing is meant to reduce your ability to live here. That's the overall. They want to push you into major cities.
So the Jeff Golden types, so the Jeff Golden and Pam Marsh types get on a county commission. They end up going against where the current board is right now, in which we will not, in fact, I think we have the board ordinance that, or the board order, that we will not burn, we will not do prescribed burns during fire season. Well, all of a sudden, you get Ashland and Talent idiotically going through, no, we need to burn this to restore the forest right there. And then at the same time, oh, but we better get some more air filters for the climate-friendly, equitable communities in Ashland, Talent, and Medford. Right? You know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, so that they can live, that you can survive the restoring of the forest each summer here, Ed. And I'm engaging in a little bit of hyperbole, but not much, I don't think, where they would take this.
I don't think you're far off at all, Bill. I mean, I believe that this is the actuality because They're falling behind on this part of it. And the need to them is so critical to do this, but they can't do it during fire season. You know, last year, Jackson County, so people understand, we had over 200 and some odd fires, and we burnt 20 acres of land, basically.
Because we put them out in the summer. We put them out in the summer.
That's right. Just simply because we put them out during fire season. The most common sense thing you can have, no one is allowed to burn during fire season.
And that includes the prescribed burners, the government paid for arsonists, right? You know, that kind of thing.
That's exactly right. And when I look at this and I look at all you people in Josephine County that happen to be listening, you have the same thing facing you. And it's magically five commissioners. Oh, this is fair and just. Oh, this is this. This is that. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into this, Bill. Okay.
Okay.
First off, I looked up Multnomah County's budget. You know what the budget is of Multnomah County?
I imagine it's huge. No, I don't know it, though.
Basically, $3.5 billion is what I looked at yesterday. That's the overall budget. Think about that just for a moment.
Okay.
Now, how many people do they have?
I don't know.
They have 805,000 is what I'm going to call
it. Oh, I thought you were talking about commissioners. All right, I think they had five, but you know, anyway.
No. I'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
They have 805,000 is what I'm going to say, because the figures ran from 803 to 815. So I'm just going to throw out 805.
Okay.
805,000. Between Jackson County and Josephine County, what do we have? We have roughly a little over 300,000 people.
Yeah, roughly speaking.
5,000.
Sure, yeah.
And 80,000.
Yeah.
Okay? But now Multnomah County has five commissioners. Then you go to the salary of those commissioners. It's basically 124.5, 124.8, I don't know, something in there, 124,800 for four commissioners. And one of the commissioners makes 207 because it's a full-time chair of the commission for the term. Okay, so they're elected to the chair. Now, our commissioners rotate the chair, and there's no extra money for being chair. That's reality, okay? But now you look at 207 for one, 207,000 for one, and then you go to the 124.8 or 9, whatever, it's somewhere right in there. But let's look at that for four commissioners. But now let's take that difference and divide it by five and place the same thing. We're within dollars of what our county commissioners make. But we have the fifth largest economy, I believe it is, in the state, right in there. But we don't have a $3.5 billion thing. But nobody is complaining about the Multnomah Charter County for that burden. But the reality is we're hiring executives to manage a $350 million a year budget. Now, do you want to have somebody of a substandard wage managing a budget of $350 million? Because that breaks down to about $117 million per commissioner.
Generally, all that will happen with their so-called reduction is that you will get people that are, A, once again, either retired, or B, power hungry and looking to jump up to higher public office. That's what the county commission will turn into. And right now, the county commission is not one of those kind of positions. It just isn't.
Well, I would add that you would have to add a verb in there of complacent. Complacent to live within an agenda produced by the state. And that's where these commissioners, these ex-commissioners that support this thing are. They're complacent with the idea. They're complicit in the movement.
You talk about the Dave Gilmores and the Peter Sages, yeah. You know, all of those folks that are part of this movement. Yeah.
Because when I look at the performance and what those commissioners, because I've researched it, I've read what they were in support of. And I look at it quite differently. I look at it as we're in the problems we are, or we face the problems we face because of a lot of their actions. And I looked at it back then. They sure didn't argue for five commissioners. They didn't argue for anything like that. But the reality to it is that now they're trying to say, oh, we need, because they want this intrusion, okay? They want this power, and it's about power. But what we have right now, we have a system that works really, really well.
And one of the most important aspects of this, and I'm going to continue to bang this, Mr. Rex, is that as it is right now, all three county commissioners care about the county as a whole. We don't have districts fighting each other for supremacy or vying for policies. They look at what the county as a whole, as a political entity, what benefits the whole here, rather than micromanaging the various districts. And I think that's what the I think the whole idea of the districts is to break down the effectiveness of the county board to be able to unite in much of anything good. It's the way I look at it.
Well, I would enhance your statement of break down the effectiveness. I would break it down further and say logically what it does is it exhibit more centralized control from the state. And that's the reality. It removes the idea of self-determination. Everybody that's listening to this, you live here. Why? You moved here. Why? You didn't move here so people could make it more difficult or basically uninhabitable with their adherence to agendas that want to just make everything so ridiculous that we have to face.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of a prosperous tourism economy is to just have grant stream funding from the legislature to pay OSF for the tickets they don't sell. Right. You know, that's their idea of a functioning economy. I think I really do. I think that's where they come from.
Well, you look at we've joked about this in the past, but they were true proposals. These people were part of a group that support this. These prior commissioners that ended up with a proposal being made for the forestry people that were working, the timber fallers, whatever you want to call them, that when they were unemployed, they could pull rickshaws in Jacksonville. But now we have to take it and further enhance that image that you got a rickshaw driver or puller, a guy running around Jacksonville in the smoke that they want to bring from their prescribed fires. And then now what does he have to do? He has to wear a respirator to do his job. But this is where they wanted to take it. And I'm painting a picture of some hilarity to that. But the reality is that's the truth of what happened. That's what they were actually proposing, that these were conditions that they could live with, that the timber harvesters could pull rickshaws. Well, I'm like, where do you guys get off? Because we have to look at this as a Democrat attack against the power structure. And I've got to try to go into something else. And this is a tougher one, Bill, but it's very important for people to understand. When I went to this public meeting, it was said there, it was said on their website. And now they'll probably alter this stuff as it goes. You know, they'll scrub it. They'll do whatever they got to do. But they went back to 1853 at the formation of Jackson County. Okay, and let's look at that. She opened the door. She wants to go to 1853. Well, let's go to 1853. Oregon was not a state. It was a territory. And it wasn't a state until 1859. But prior to statehood, they cut Jackson County in half and created Josephine County. Now, for the area of Jackson County, as of 1859, we had now six commissioners for the original area of Jackson County in 1853. Now, think about it. That's just the reality. So the same area was now covered by six commissioners.
Okay.
Tell me what they want to change it to what would now be 10 commissioners. Where Multnomah County only has 5 for 800,000 people.
Yeah, the math doesn't make sense there. But still, the bottom line and where I will continue to focus on it is that this is a naked power grab. This is all about a power grab.
And
this is about breaking us down for the state agency agendas that these people from the South County especially are largely in favor of.
Well, this is what I'm trying to assert. The common sense reality to it is it exhibits nothing more than a broken down issue of trying to reach for power while they have an election cycle where they can do it without much intrusion from the other side. They make statements like the current county board only represents 30% of the voters. Well, they represent less.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the Democrats are an even smaller percentage. I mean, for all these people that are talking about winner takes all. Oh, my gosh. All right, Mr. X. Yeah, like I said, we're going to continue to be on this in both Jackson and Josephine County for a number of weeks here moving forward before this election. I want to make sure that everybody understands that these are attacks and intrusions on Jackson and Josephine County, and they must be kicked out. They must be vanquished, and the only way they can be vanquished is through the vote, is through the vote. And you can certainly understand why they always try to do these kind of schemes in a primary or off-year election, because they're figuring, well, like I even mentioned earlier this morning here, you know, they're thinking, Trump's a presumptive nominee. Why do I even need to bother voting in the primary, right? You know, if you're a Republican, that sort of thing, why should I even bother? Well, this garbage that we've been talking about is in this election, which are generally low turnout elections. That's the plan, isn't it?
Well, it is. And it's like, and the other consideration that people have to take into account, and you got to look at the term under which somebody has lived here. How do they have the right to try to change it for the rest of us who's given our lives here? And the main petitioner on this basically lived in Mississippi until about 2017, from what I can find.
And one of the main promoters in the Josephine County version of their charter changes is from Georgia. Big Democratic Party operative from Georgia. They move here.
Well, they're...
Yeah.
And that's the information people have to concentrate on. Consider the source. Consider the realities of this. Because if you've lived here, I've been here well over 30 years. And, I mean, I look at it and... I think at that point, I have earned the right to comment on our charters. I comment on our political system. But after 7 years, you want to come in here and change my ability to live here, my ability to be happy here, my ability to be healthy here? No, I'm sorry. You don't have that right.
All right, Mr. X, we appreciate the call as always. We'll have you back. And thank you for looking into these things.
You,
by the way, we do have a caller. I don't know if, hopefully they're on topic. I don't know. But hi, you're on with Ed. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, this is Vicki. How you doing, Bob?
I'm Vicki. I'm doing well.
I just had a comment. You know, I'm in the Applegate, and when I first moved out here back in 96, but we had a whole different kind of burning system out here. They weren't going in and, you know, in my opinion, raping the forests and saying they're doing it for fire prevention. But I had a small burn pile that I was going to burn, and it, you know, it looked like a decent day. It wasn't windy. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody out here is pretty respectful and smart about when to burn and when not. And the fire department showed up at my house and said I had to put it out. And I said, well, I can see... You know, is that people burning up on the mountainside, you know? And they said, oh, no, that's the forestry department. They're doing, you know, maintenance or whatever. And I said, well, this is a very small burn pile. Why do I have to put it out? They're, like, burning huge piles up there.
Where are you going in respect with what we've been talking about, Vicki? About the county issues here. Is that connected somehow, in your view?
Like there's a different, I was told that they go by a different set of rules. So in order for us to be able to do, you know, what we need to do out here is our own maintenance, you know.
Yeah. Ed, do you want to comment on Vicki's concern there? I don't know if this is really involved in this or not. What we've been talking about.
It actually is involved, Bill.
It is.
Because here's a private,
I believe it is.
Here's a private property landowner that wants to burn a burn pile, and she can't do it, but they can come in and do maintenance burning, okay, and under what criteria? But now let's look at it differently. Let's say that maintenance burning caused an ignition to burn a prescription area. And then they could burn as many acres as they wanted to under their burn prescription.
And I've seen that happen time and time again. I've been out here over 30 years in the Valley and in the Applegate since 19.
Yeah. So you're okay then with at least, you know, if we're stopping burning at a certain time of year because it's fire season, you're good with that though, right? You don't think that we should be doing prescribed burn in the middle of summer? Would you agree with that?
Well, no. And I think the conditions also need to be recognized. If it's, you know, 15, 20, 25 mile an hour winds, they should not be burning.
All right. Vicki, I appreciate your call. It's 770-5633. I'll grab another one here. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this?
Yeah, Ron Grants Pass. I want to point out that both you guys are hitting 100%, but at the Josephine County Republican headquarters, they have a brochure that makes a very good comparison between what we now have and the communist overtake that the proposed new county charter is. And I think everybody should stop in there, grab a handful, and see all of their neighbors and their relatives and do whatever they can.
And get them out to vote here, Ron, because this is they're counting, I think, the opposition, the intruders into county government are doing their best to make sure that they're hoping that, this is going to be a low turnout election, generally speaking. We're the activists here. And so we'll be able to prevail. You can have a small minority of people prevail in a election like this. So get your friends and family out to vote, too. All right. We appreciate that. And that's going to be the main thing we're going to be focusing on the next few weeks. You got to turn out. You cannot let that envelope just sit on your counter when it comes from the post office. That's, okay.
That's the key, Bill. And in response to what Ron just brought up, I understand. Hey, prepare the pamphlet. Look at it. Read it. Just verify to yourself that you're correct in making a common sense decision when you vote. But the reality to it is that just voting against it, because this whole thing was started by the current Board of Commissioners that really created a committee of nonpartisan type things for proposed charter amendments. And then this group splintered off because they didn't like the outcome and then went for a repeal and replace of the charter. A charter that's been in place, basically the concept of it started in 1856, but it was redone and put in front of the voters, you know, recently, probably, I don't know the actual date, and I have to look that up again. I've forgotten it for the moment. But ours was done in Jackson County in 1978. Now, I presume Josephine's was right around that time period or a year or two later. But the reality is these are things that have been in place, but we don't have the need to have five commissioners. All it does is take us into a consensus, a policy consensus thing, and this is how the state of Oregon functions, through the state agency aspect of it, to manage different policies that they want to intrude into our lives. And their policy is very bizarre. And we have to understand that under a principle of self-determination, that we to choose how we want to live to a degree on every level, it's done through this county protection. And they're removing those protections by doing this.
All right. Ed, that is the you win the interwebs on that one. They're removing the protections. That's what they want.
That's right.
Appreciate the call, as always. And we will talk more about this soon, I have no doubt, because we got a few weeks before this election. But tilling the ground here, when you have the barbarians at the gate wanting to intrude in our county government, and we have to be aware of it, and I'm not saying that necessarily barbarians. Maybe that's a improper thing. Maybe they even think that they're doing the right thing. But it's still a naked power grab and an intrusion, and to make us more in line with state agendas with unelected agency power. Okay? On that note, we'll talk soon, all right? Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Bill.
Mr. X, community researcher and overall good guy. It's 10 after 7, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass. Mr. Outdoors will join me in a few, too.
If you're remodeling...